Don't get me started on that. Don't get me started on that. Roasted the entire Dolphins franchise when that trade happened. Fourth round pick. Suck my dick. Suck my dick. Just for the love of God, don't do another shitty trade like fucking JHI. I swear to God, if that ever happens, they need to fire everyone there.
The Weekend Sports Podcast starts now.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Weekend Sports Podcast. It's your host, as always, Dizzy, joined once again by my good friend and co-host, Cartlucci the Great.
What it is, everybody?
A.K.A. Young Chocolate in the mix. Right. And we got my good friend, John, longtime friend of the show, was one of my original co-hosts. Yeah. And we have him filling in for Eric for the foreseeable future, so get used to his ugly mug around
and
here.
And then life happened.
And Sweet Lou.
And Sweet Lou, of course, but Lou is out today.
Lou's out today.
But don't you fret. He'll be back shortly. He had a barbecue for, what was it, his sister's going away thing, he was telling me, something like that.
Shout out to Lou. Just want to remind you that Ronaldo's still trash.
Oh.
Ooh.
Fighting words.
Edgy.
We're texting today, so.
Ah, yeah, that makes course. Sense.
Yeah, of course. So, yeah.
Anyway.
Shout out to Lou.
Shout out to Lou. We miss you, buddy. Get back soon.
No, they don't.
We say he's not going to be in here tomorrow recording. Like that's the funny part. Yeah,
and I see him 5 days a week.
Exactly. Anyways, with all that out of the way, let's get into some of the headlines.
Juicy.
Specifically, the NFL.
Juicy. Juicy.
There's
news.
A variety of things we're going to talk about, we're going to touch bases on. And I think because of that, the best thing to do is we're going to make this episode a two-parter. And starting off, we're going to start off light here. So, Omar Kelly of the Sun Sentinel reported this past week, and by the time this comes out, it'll probably be like 2 weeks old, that the Dolphins are quote-unquote aggressively searching for another outside corner. That apparently they've been unimpressed by all their corners who are not named Bobby McCain and Xavien Howard. Which, those are the two guys that everyone kind of knew were locks, because Xavien Howard looks like the next shutdown guy, and Bobby McCain's been doing it for the past God knows how many seasons at this point. My question to you, and before we discuss potential targets, what do you think, you specifically, John, because I know you and I are both big on that Dolphin news cycle. Does it at all concern you that, because when you look at our secondary, specifically the corners, there's a lot of young guys that they were hoping that would develop into that second outside guy.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Tony Lippett, who was injured all of last year. There are high hopes for him coming back. Tankersley. I can't pronounce this guy's name for the life of me. Tankersley. He was another guy that looked spectacular last year. And again, he's not stepping up in camp, apparently. They don't like him that much on the outside. So you're back in a situation where you only have two guys. And Xavien Howard, I didn't think was a for sure thing either, because we only really saw him do well the last 4 weeks of the season. My question to you, is this at all concerning, considering all the question marks we have surrounding this defense coming into this year?
Let me just put it this way. Considering they're actually willing to see the flaws in the defense, that's a good
up.
Sign.
That's a step
right.
Considering in the past they've just accepted being ass.
Yes, that is true.
But if they continue noticing the flaws, I'm pretty sure that it's eventually going to lead to what we're all thinking, and that's the defensive coordination. I think that's the main problem.
You're calling for the defensive coordinator.
I don't think the corners are getting the correct training that they need.
Okay. Well,
I don't think they're being trained well.
That's a possibility, right? Because you look at the past. I said it on Twitter the other day through the OTD Twitter account, and I was saying how, they're just now noticing that we don't have good corners. Because yeah. I've been calling for a corner for the past 5 years.
Same thing with linebackers.
Linebackers is another one. So it's puzzling that it's only now that they've started to accept it. Yeah, we need to get better on the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
But you're saying that they accepted it publicly.
Right.
Didn't they draft a corner?
Oh, you're talking Minka Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
Well, they see him more as a safety. Although
they're putting him as a safety.
Although this past week, they did try a different scheme where they had him at nickel.
At nickel. Right.
And they moved Bobby to the outside.
I figured they were going to put him in nickel, but...
Yeah. That's what I thought would be the best. Yeah. Without any trades, I said the best lineup for them would be Minka at the nickel and then Bobby on the outside. Because Bobby may be a better nickel corner than he is outside boundary corner, but McCain's got that edge to him that he can go up against anyone, I think, on the edge.
I really thought that that's how it was, and it was going to solidify that. But... So here's two things. Number one, this is what's really cool about American football, that it's really like a chess game.
Yeah.
Right? It's very scheme and it's very playbook centric, right? So you gotta be where you gotta be and everything else and all that stuff.
It's very tactical.
Extremely tactical.
Like you said, for all intents and purposes,
it's very American.
Yes.
So because I think his point is really, it was well said. It was, you might have the talent, you just not putting the right scheme, matching the right scheme to the talent, right?
Yeah, and I think that's something to bring up, of course, because I believe in Adam Gase as a good head coach, but he's always been more offensive minded, which then puts that much more pressure on the defensive coordinator to do his job on defense.
You also have to consider that Adam Gase is the supposed QB guru.
Right. So that's the thing. When you have a head coach who is offensive minded, you need a good defensive coordinator to compensate for that, and you need good positional coaches if you really do plan on developing young guys.
I think they need a defensive coordinator that has experience training cornerbacks well.
Well, to their credit, when they first hired Adam Gase, they had Vance Joseph at defensive coordinator, and I thought he was a decent enough defensive coordinator, but then the Denver Broncos went ahead and gave him a head coaching job, and the rest is history. But I just look at it, and I'm happy, because I think they desperately needed some help at the outside, and not just developing guys, because I think at some point you need the proven veteran somewhere there, right? But it's puzzling that We're now like halfway through the preseason, and now is when they want to start addressing it. Like, you should have been addressing this a lot sooner.
Well,
I understand you wanted to give him a chance in training camp, but I just feel like...
Well, I mean, you got to give him the chance. The other thing is this, though. Speaking about giving him the chance, right? Or right. giving them the chance. Right. Or giving that defense the chance, right? Or maybe giving that defensive coordinator a chance.
Right.
Right? Because there's people that let go of coordinators because they're like, no. We have the right talent.
Yeah.
Or we have the right personnel. Mm. Or they say, no, you wanted these people here and you wanted this personnel and now you're sucking.
You know, so what you want.
You got to get out.
Yeah.
So whoever it is.
Right.
Right. But what's the expectations of the team?
Expectations probably 8-8 at best.
So if you're at...
We did the predictions on the show not too long ago, and me and Lou collectively said 6-10 seems like a pretty safe bet.
So if you're looking at a 6-10 team, you would say that 3 preseason games is not nearly enough.
Right.
Because even if you figured it out
in
the preseason and you had a decent defense, you're still at best 8-8.
Right.
So you're not going anywhere anyway.
Okay.
So then if that's the case, if you're true to yourself and you're right about that, then take this season to develop that defense and develop the scheme and get the right people for whatever holes you're missing.
Right.
But don't sell the farm right now to try to get somebody to come in and buy you one more win. Or 2 more wins.
I get that.
By selling the farm.
Okay.
And don't blow up everything just to get another win or another 2 wins. I understand if you're the Bills and you made the playoffs and you think that 1 or 2 guys is going to make that difference.
Right.
Then okay, because you're trying to win right now. If you're the Patriots and you go, we only have 3 years left. Yeah. So you're trying to win right now.
Yeah, you don't care.
But if you're the Browns and you're like, look, we got 3 seasons to figure this out, to make sure that all these moves plan out, right? If you have 3 seasons, then don't sell the farm. Like, give it some time. Because like you said, three games into the preseason at that.
Yeah.
And you don't like what you see, like, give it some time.
Right.
But don't. That's just my opinion. Don't move so fast.
You're right. I mean, look.
If you're a mediocre team.
Yeah, to your credit, you don't sell the farm or anything like that. That makes sense. But there's something to be said when you clearly seem incompetent when it comes to certain positions for years and years at a time. I still don't know what they're doing at linebacker. Now it looks like there's a bit of a direction, because now it looks like we're going to be starting two rookie. Well, technically, Raekwon McMillan isn't a rookie, but he was injured all of last year, so a rookie. And in Jerome Baker. So you got two young linebackers, athletic guys. So that's a bit of a direction, right? Young linebackers are going to breed our own. They're going to be athletic. They're going to be fast, yada, yada, yada. So, okay, I'll live with that. Defensive tackle, oh, well, you know, we don't really need the greatest interior D lineman because, you know, we got Cam Wake and Robert Quinn on the edges. Like, all right, okay, well, I'll live with that. But since Brent Grimes, we haven't had a decent corner. And to say Brent Grimes was the last decent corner we had is saying a lot, in my opinion. Because before those couple of seasons with us, he had nothing. He was nothing really special.
No.
So I'm just puzzled by the timing of it all. Like, oh, now's the season you want to address this. You could have addressed it last year when maybe coming off a 10-6 record, there's a little more hope along the horizon. Maybe even a year before that. Timing's weird.
And also that, which kind of leads into the second question you asked him, right? Because he, you know, like I said, John brought up a good point with the kind of, you know, you can blame it on the scheme, right? Not necessarily on the, you could. Now, he's not blaming it on the scheme. He's just saying it could be that.
Because hypothetically, if you have a bunch of man-to-man defenders in a zone scheme, they're not going to.
And not just that. That the fact is that they've seen them a lot more than we have. So if they open their mouth and they go, "We don't really like what we see. We're not impressed."
Right.
They're seeing a lot more than we see.
Of course.
So they might know something we don't know. But so he brings up a great point. But right, you asked him, "Well, what do you see the potential candidates to kind of fill in those holes and make the changes?" So, you know, when you talk about that, do you think there are people worth it
to either make a trade for them now
or make a trade to put yourself in a position to go after them later?
Okay.
In the free. So do you think that there is somebody that's really going to fill in those holes?
I actually do have one guy in mind. And everyone that knows me knows that the Dolphins are first and foremost my favorite team.
This is his sexy pick.
Yeah.
But my second favorite team since I was little has always been the Eagles. So I got news feed on them too and stuff. I'm still really in tune with like stuff like that. And a name I saw being tossed around there even before the draft started was the name Ronald Darby. That they traded for him last year. But his contract expires after this year. They don't really have the cap space to re-sign him. So as good as a player as he is and as strong as a training camp and preseason he's had, they don't think they'll be able to re-sign him this offseason. So they might move him, especially since they have an abundance of corners. If the Dolphins can trade, I would even go as far as high as a second-round pick for Ronald Darby, with some assurance that we could re-sign him, of course, which I think we could because we finally cleared up a lot of cap space. I think Ronald Darby, opposite of Xavien Howard, the way he's projecting, with Bobby McCain at the nickel, and then you now get to move Minka back to the free safety with Rashard Jones, that secondary is going to be scary, I think, if that happens. It's a hypothetical. That's my favorite name out there because I'm a big Darby fan. I thought that trade was spectacular for the Eagles when they did it last year. So if that's a guy that we can get in on, then absolutely. And we've had some history trading with the Eagles before. We traded for Byron Maxwell, Kiko Alonso.
You just traded a good player to
we
them.
We just traded Jay Ajayi to them. You know, maybe there's a little goodwill.
Don't get me started on that.
There's obviously open lines of communication.
Right, so maybe there's some goodwill there. Like, hey, you gave us Jay Ajayi for fucking pennies. Give us a third rounder. We'll give you Darby, man. You need it.
Roasted the entire Dolphins franchise when that trade happened.
When that trade happened?
Yeah, that was a rough time.
Fourth round pick.
But enough of the Jay Ajayi trade.
Suck my dick.
The point that I'm trying to make is that that's a guy that I could see that would have an instant impact, I think, especially on the defense. And with us, well, I don't want to say our D-line subpar, because we still have Robert Quinn, we still have Cam Wake. That's still a very good D-line. I don't care who's in the middle at that point. But I think that's a way to compensate for some of your other weak areas if you have really strong corners on the outside. And I'm of the mindset that I'd rather a really good secondary than a really good front seven. That's always been me. But that's one guy that I would definitely consider a huge game changer. I don't know if it'll happen, but if that's on the table, if all the
stars align, right? Yeah. If the Dolphins have something that they can offer the Eagles, if the Eagles don't need him throughout the season,
right?
If the Eagles don't really need him, but the Dolphins have something that can help them now,
right?
Get him over the top than that. So all the stars have to align.
Yeah, obviously.
For that to happen, I'd rather give him a draft pick.
Well, I think that's what the Eagles want.
The thing with the draft pick is that if the Eagles are in the hunt this year and they think that they're missing a piece somewhere or they might get hurt somewhere.
That's what they did last year.
Yeah, they're missing a piece or they might get hurt somewhere. Then you have that star aligning where you might have what you're willing to give.
Like, let's say in the event that they... one of the defensive ends, you know, tears an ACL. It's like, fuck, we're still really relevant. We just need another edge. Oh, well, we have William Hayes.
Right.
It's like, all right, yeah, we'll pick him up just even if it's just for this year.
Right. So you could throw that in there with a late round pick.
Yeah.
And then that could happen, right? Because if they're down and out, if the Eagles are down and out, the Eagles are then that opens up the draft pick. Because then the Eagles are thinking, okay, we're not going to do anything this year, but we can get a draft pick for next year.
Right.
Of course.
That right? But if they're still in the hunt, they're not going to want to trade them away for a draft pick. They're going to want to trade them away for somebody that can help now.
Yeah.
And you don't want another team to step in and be like, I got what you need.
Yeah. They have a lot of high expectations considering they just came off a Super Bowl win.
Yeah, with Carson Wentz coming back and stuff.
So
maybe they're still desperate to win another one.
Yeah, that's possible.
I think they're trying to fill in the pieces now.
Trust me, that I could tell you that Carson is.
Yeah, Carson.
For sure.
He feels some type of way about them winning.
For sure. I can guarantee you that the fans are, sure.
Of course.
So in that...
That fan base is never satisfied.
In that city
they
puts pressure.
Goddamn Santa Claus.
That city puts pressure on their team, their coaches and shit. So that's one of those cities that if the city doesn't approve of that coach, he's going to get fired.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, there's pressure there. Yeah, the players themselves might be a little bit satisfied already. But everybody else around them might be putting pressure.
Forget about it. Final word on that, though, I would just say, if there's a fairly friendly deal, go for it. If you got to ride out another season with, you know, that lineup we were talking about with McCain on the outside with Minka and the nickel, I don't think that's a bad lineup either.
But just for the love of God, don't do another shitty trade like fucking JHI. I swear to God, if that ever happens, they need to fire everyone there.
Oh, well, I think that's coming. But that's a story for another day.